Hello and welcome to another episode of Uniquely Wired, an ADHD podcast. I'm your host, Shun Prochaska. I'm an ADHD coach and an all-round ADHD nerd, and basically anything to do with ADHD, I love to talk about, I love to learn about, and I love to bring as much information to you, the listener, as possible. In this episode, I speak to fellow ADHD coach, Matthew Sampi. He's based in Louisiana in the US, and 10 years ago, he had something called a SPECT scan. Now, a SPECT scan stands for Single Photon Emission Computerized Tomography. And how it works is it uses a small radioactive tracer, which is usually injected or, you know, gets into the body through infusion. And the tracer then is picked up by a special camera, and it follows blood flow. So if you're having a SPECT scan on the brain, it can follow where the blood flow is, where the blood flow is going. And with ADHD, the blood flow to the front of the brain, the prefrontal cortex, where your executive functioning is less than people without ADHD. And that's what gives us challenges when it comes to things like planning and motivating and self-control and various other things. It's the management system of the brain. And Matthew talks a little bit more about it in this episode. So I hope you enjoy it. And it's just fascinating to hear somebody talking, somebody who's seen their brain. I mean, that's incredible, you know, on these images, and seeing ADHD in their brain is just, it's just an amazing, amazing thing. Anyway, I'll stop now because I'm getting very excited about this. I hope you enjoyed the show. And as always, please let me know if you have any comments or questions or anything like that. You can get my info in the description of this episode. And now let's get on with the show. When you first went, when you had the idea for going for the scan with Dr. Amen, did you know you had ADHD already? And you were just curious to see how it looked in your brain, or did you go to him for an official diagnosis?
No, it's a good question. I went, I actually was 41 years old. I'm now 51, so it was 10 years ago. I had been going through some personal issues, and I was having a rough time with some anxiety and some moderate depression. And I was trying to get to the bottom of what was going on. I could not focus. Of course, that's a symptom of depression as well, mm-hmm. You know, not able to concentrate. So that didn't send off the flags, the red flags for ADHD. But we had the test just trying to look at my brain, the physical makeup of my brain, to see what it would tell us. And after the test, the first thing the doctor came in and said was, has anyone told you you have ADHD? And that was the first thing he said when he walked back into the room after looking at my results.
Wow.
So, yeah. And that was like, whoa. I was always told that I did have problems focusing. I was never the stereotypical ADHD kid who everybody thinks is bouncing off the walls, can't sit still in school, and that wasn't me. The hyper, you know, child. But it, that doesn't mean you don't have ADHD, as we all know now, the inattentive types, and I was the inattentive, you know. Mm-hmm. So, but I had been told like that. You know, I lose my, like when I'm trying to hear someone speak, I notice what's going on in the background and all that. And I had been gotten feedback my entire life that I wasn't always present, which is, you know, it was something that I couldn't do anything about at the time, but I really beat myself up over because I didn't understand why I couldn't.
And so was it a huge shock to find out you had ADD?
No, it was not a huge shock, but it was very validating for me because I had something I could sink my teeth into. you know, and now everyone's case is different, as we know, but because depression and anxiety coexist with ADHD, we know that comorbid symptoms, they would call it. But really, in my case, since I found my diagnosis, I really, and the professionals who treat me, I also think that the ADHD is my big deal. And it leads to my anxiety and depression. So having learned of something I could put my finger on, the type of brain that I have, really helped me with the depression and all. Now, it didn't obviously eliminate my ADHD symptoms, but once I figured that, okay, this is me, and this is how my brain is wired, it answered a lot of questions.
It's powerful, isn't it?
It was very, I don't think I can understate that, how powerful that is, you know, for me. And of course, I'm the type, and a lot of ADDers are, that we want to learn a lot and we want to get better. And I sunk my teeth into knowing everything I could about it. And you know, and over the past decade, I've basically spent reading countless books and listening to podcasts and watching, you know, documentaries and everything I can get my hands on to learn about ADHD. And it's some really great information now, especially in the last, you know, in these last 10 years, we've come a long way.
Yeah, it is. And I think even in Europe, it's starting to catch up, I suppose, with North America, because I would say that you're much more ahead in terms of awareness of ADHD and support and things like that, and access to support. You sent me a couple of images from your scan, which were really, really interesting. Obviously, you know, it's a podcast and we can't show them, but what specifically did you learn? Like, did you learn something specific about a part of your brain that
Sure, absolutely. And, you know, I wanted to dive into it, into the part, the various parts of my brain and the chemicals that were being affected. And that's where I've done I spent a lot of my time in the neuroscientist part, which I'm fascinated with. I think just as a precursor to that, I was very, you know, I was a psychology undergrad. I graduated in psychology. I was always very interested in it. I thought about becoming a clinical psychologist even when I was younger. I was always just interested in human behavior and what motivates and not. And part of that is the physical brain itself. Mm-hmm. Now, since I've been to college, we know so much more about that. And the reason why I'm telling you about this is because being able to look at it and almost see it, as well, can see it and touch it, is, it's different than what it was when I was learning psychology, which was more of a, what we call a soft science, you know, like a science that you really couldn't put your hands on. So this, I have like the research and the pictures now to validate what we're finding as far as what ADHD is. And that's science. It's really hard to argue against it now. You know, I think some people used to say, oh, just focus more, you know, with your ADHD, mm-hmm. you know, but now, to answer your question, when you look at a brain scan from someone with ADHD, our prefrontal cortex, which is responsible for our executive functions, mm-hmm. decision-making, task initiation, impulse control, all these things,
mm-hmm. management
is really quiet, okay? Mm-hmm. It's very, very quiet. And the SPECT scan itself basically is, they shoot a tracer in your blood, an IV. So it follows your blood and it gets circulated in your brain. And then the scan, it's a computed tomography. The CT takes a picture and the tracer is radioactive and it kind of puts off like a fluorescent gamma ray. So it was able to pick up your actual brain and the blood flow in your brain and where it's flowing.
Okay. So it can literally see the brain activity.
Yes. Yeah. We literally see what parts of the brain are firing, which ones are not so much, not a whole lot of neural networking going on. And in my case, my prefrontal cortex was very quiet. And so if you took a normal brain and you look at the PFC, which is the prefrontal cortex, you would see some activity going on. And that was your ability to focus and, you know, attention. And if you took my brain, and you don't see a whole lot, but my amygdala was really firing, and my limbic system and everything that says this is an anxious kid or guy, you know, was firing. Now, we know that that's not the best part of the brain to make decisions with, you know, that's the fight or flight, you know. And so by looking at my prefrontal cortex and seeing how quiet it was, that was one of the defining characteristics of him saying, you know, this is an ADHD brain. And I have, let me show you. I'll read exactly, if you don't mind, my printout.
Of course.
From, it says, one of my, it had like a list of things that they noted in my brain. And it said, decreased tracer activity in the left and right inferior orbital prefrontal cortex. Okay. So that decreased activity is associated with concentration tasks, impulsivity, short attention span, distractibility, and difficulties with organizing and planning. And the printout says with this area, with the decreased activity, this is a strong correlation with ADD, especially when performing a concentration task, which I was. They put it into my brain and then they made me concentrate on something. So to try to put that part of the brain in action, okay?
So you had to do a task while the scan was happening?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, like a scan which took some functioning in brain. I remember it was like objects and you had to really concentrate hard to try to follow it and tell it what was going on.
Wow.
So, you know, that was what the scan showed, and that's why he made his, that's why he told me it looks like you have ADHD. Now, we're learning a lot about ADHD, and that's a really general statement that I made. And I think in the future, there'll probably be even more subdivisions of ADHD we'll get into. I think it's only going to get more specific. And Dr. Daniel Amen himself has come up like with nine types of ADHD that he says that you can have. Wow. And those are basically based on your pictures of your brain. Like one's ring of fire, because the way it manifests itself in the pictures, it kind of shows like a halo in your brain and the activity in your brain. So it's really quite interesting.
It is.
And a lot of information there.
Gosh. And did you have to go back to him again? Or was it just like that one time that you went in? And
well, I think the main thing with Dr. Daniel was that I received the diagnosis. Okay. And then he has his own ways to treat it, as well as every other doctor has his own ways to treat it. So he does have a couple books out. I did get the books. I read a lot of what these guys do and say is crossing over, you know, with like the exercise component and the food you eat and this whole person approach to ADHD. He's very much into that. So I followed, you know, not what he wanted to a T, but a large portion of it. What he wants to do and continue to this day.
You still do it today, 10 years on.
I try. I'm human and I'm not supposed to be eating a whole lot of unrefined sugar, and tomorrow's Thanksgiving. So we can see where that probably is going to lead me. But I think when you look at ADD, the the most success that I've had was this whole person approach to it. You know, everything. Am I drinking enough water? Am I getting enough sleep? Am I, you know, all of these things are so key to treating it.
Absolutely. And can you tell us what exactly a whole person approach means for anybody listening who might not understand? Is it like dietary, exercise, education?
Sure. And it basically takes everything into account. The food you eat, of course, your diet, the amount that you move, your exercise. Do you meditate? How is your sleep? How was your social activity? How many friends do you have? How many people can you say things that you trust? You know, your community. So once you take all these pieces together, then you start to really perhaps be able to handle your ADD so much better. And not to say that you can't start without any one piece, but it's not going to be like the best approach for you, I think, you know? And so you can be like really exercising hard and all this greatness, but once you only sleep in 3 hours a night, you kind of can throw it all out the window. So even with your stimulant medication, you can go to a doctor and get all these things, but with a stimulant. And then if you're not taking care of yourself at the base level, it's not going to mean anything.
Yes.
So all these pieces fit together nicely in a puzzle that all need to be looked at in your life and sometimes have to be adjusted.
So how did you find doing all of these things improve your ADHD traits? Where was the biggest impact?
I do think that right off the bat, I did start a stimulant medication, and that's part of the whole package. And in this the particular state that I was in at the time, it really helped me because it basically moved my PFC into drive where it wasn't. And so once I really got a hold of it, I was able to back off my medication a little bit and not have as powerful a dosage as I originally had.
Okay.
So I think initially that question could be answered with, okay, when are we talking about? It just depends at what stage you are. And at that time, I was kind of having a difficult time. So I needed something to help, like a pharmacological agent maybe to get my brain's boost started in the right way.
Absolutely.
And then I've tapered off since then as I've gotten everything else in line. You know, so I think the answer to your question probably is the stimulant med that I originally took had the biggest effect on me being able to focus and get my life more in order. And then once that was, I was able to pay attention, then I was able to pull all these other areas of my life in alignment.
Fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
That's really, really interesting. Thank you so much, Matt, for coming on. It's been a really nice chat.
Yeah, I love it. And
I hope you enjoyed this episode of Uniquely Wired, an ADHD podcast. I've been your host, Shun Prochaska, an ADHD coach, and I was talking to fellow ADHD coach, Matthew Sampi. You can find both of our contact details in the description below this episode, and always, you know, reach out if you have any questions or comments. I'd love to hear from you, and I'm sure Matthew would too. And as always, the music is by the wonderful @miserable_Martin. Thanks for listening. Bye.